Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, I do.
Need a little help.
Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't do it alone.
Ain't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, y'all. Come on.
wake up, yeah.
Wake up, yeah.
Wake up, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, it don't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
What race?
What race?
Creed or color? Everybody.
We need each
other.
We need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
Come on down, wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking.
No more
time
backward
thinking.
No more times of thinking ahead.
Will all your teachers start to teach a new way? They're the ones that suffer each and every day.
Teach them every day.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
Teach the
children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Who's coming up? All right. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. It don't matter what creed or color. We all need each other. All right? Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first, we want to acknowledge God's word with the scripture, and then we are going to get right to it. Love and action. That is Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love and action. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Hey, wake up, everybody. And you know I love that song. That song is just kind of like real powerful to me. And it just means a lot. And it says a lot. And it should give us a whole lot to think about when it comes to our youth and the support that they need. Because that's what Bring Back the Family is about. And it says that it's a call for people to wake up. Wake up to what's going on and happening around us. It's a call for us to get engaged and make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time. It's calling for reform and change, awareness and hope, accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make it in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and to get to it? to get busy with the challenges and the changes and the support and the sacrifice and meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world. Who is willing? Who is willing? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution all around this beautiful world. Okay? And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and ye, a good foundation. So, what do we propose to do? What do we propose? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Time to ante up. It is simply giving back, giving more than what we had. It's a different time now and a different generation, a different generational mindset. And, you know, just meeting them at where they are. We have to meet them where they are. Whole new generation, whole new thinking pattern, whole new time. So we have to meet them right where they are, starting from scratch, the basics. And the basics are just some simple love, caring, sharing, concern, encouragement, some meaningful conversation, some positive affirmation. You are beautiful. You are handsome. You are smart, strong, intelligent. We need you. We need you to survive. We are here for you. What is it that you need? What do you need us to do for you? Most important, God loves you. God loves you. It's unanimous that our youth need a secular education and a Christian education. And that's what's missing out of our homes, out of our families. God's word. God's word to us. It's missing. Okay? Unanimous. We need it. We need God's word. We need God in the middle of all everything that we're doing, in the middle of our home, right there in the home. We need it. So block by block. What does that mean? Block by block. Go and see what they need on your block, all of you. Take an inventory of what you of the survey of your block. When you look out the door and you see little kids out there, what can we do? Pick up some books, some workbooks, all subject workbooks. We could start a reading club, a book club, Bible study to encourage them to read. Okay? To encourage them to read. Talk to our youth about God. Talk to them about what God can do for us, all our battles and victories, and all our trials and tribulations, and how we handle different situations. How we handle different situations. We can't make it without them. Everybody know have been through. And, you know, we have a story to tell about how we got through. And so our youth are going to go through the same things that we went through. They are. And so we have to prepare them. Okay? Give them some incentives for reading. Incentives. Let them tell you about what they read verbally or through a book report. Encourage them, you know, with their report card. And that's sentence, a good report card. Just to keep them focused and look forward to the reward. This will also help with their behavior. We have to find other ways to combat the behavior of our children. And we do. We can't, you know, they got a lot of rules now where we can't discipline them the way that we used to discipline them. It's like the kids are in charge of the household now. And so we have to find other ways. Mm-hmm. So, and we have to kind of get a hold of that because the behavior is really getting out of order now. And our juvenile systems are being overloaded with our young kids, with our babies, okay? And the behavior is what's being used now to calculate the prison populations to come. They're using the behavior of the youth there. So they're writing down, they're taking notes of everything that they're doing, and they're writing it down. And that's going to be a determining factor for the future now. Okay. So today, we are going to dedicate our show to Mr. John McFaul, who went home to be with the Lord yesterday. I just want to reminisce a little bit on him and, you know, just bring him into our show because it relates and it fits to some of the things that he's done in his life. John was a friendly, gentle giant. He was a social worker by profession, and he specialized in and had a genuine care and concern for the youth. Okay? So besides being married to John at one time, his care and concern for the youth and his brilliant mind is what I admired and loved about him. His brilliant mind, because he was brilliant, his brilliant mind would connect with a child's mind and just instantly, in a matter of, you know, less than 30 minutes of a session, would be able to help that child. He would be able to pull everything out of that child that he need to pull out of him to be able to help him in the problem and issues and the concerns that he was having. And I watched him do that one day. And it was really amazing, the gift that God gave him to be able to use social work and therapy with the youth. Mm-hmm. I was just in awe of what I witnessed him do in his professional life of social work. He was a brilliant teacher. When I was in school studying human services, he was like my tutor. He would come to the school and read with me and explain and give me insight on everything that I would read chapter by chapter. We would read, and he would make things so simple and easy to understand. That's the time he took out to help me to be able to get through and understand what I was reading. He took that quality time to come up to my school to help me to read, not read, but understand what I was reading. And one time I had an assignment, and the instructor had made the assignment so hard, it's hard to understand, and what I was asked to do on that assignment. And John, all he did was gave me an example and explained in like one sentence what I was supposed to do and what was to be done. And I was like, is that all? That's it? And I was like, okay. And I was able to run with it just like that. And I got an A on that assignment. I just thought he was just a brilliant, just brilliant. John, he went to church every day, every Sunday. He would not miss a Sunday going to church unless he was held hostage in the hospital. Okay. He loved God and was an excellent teacher and minister of God's word. When we were married, we would fall asleep discussing questions that I had about the Bible and would get very, very in-depth with it, and which made me more and more curious. Mm-hmm. And so he would explain it, and we would get into some deep conversations about God's word, and that was cool. It just made you love it more. It made you want more. Mm-hmm. He spoke other languages. Other languages. And Spanish, and just he just knew how to speak, you know, different languages. The Spanish he spoke fluently. You would find John at the McDonald's, one of his favorite spots, talking to people of all walks of life. He didn't care who it was. You'd be talking to them about the many around the world travel experiences that he had. Mm-hmm. He knew something about everything. Everything. You ask him a question, he knew something about everything. Brilliant. He was. We thank God for his life. He used to talk about how he was raised up around, he had that village type environment where all the neighbors looked out and helped to raise you. A lot of men. He had a lot of men in his community, Mr. Elam, who else he was? A lot of men. He grew up with a lot of men on their street and families like that, and they were strong men and family men. And so he contributed that and that village type environment that he had to, you know, things that he knew and being able to go out and, get good grades and be disciplined by, you know, your neighbors because they were able to do that back then and to keep you in the right direction. And he used his basketball skills to be able to get out of the community and go away to college, which he went to North Dakota State University. And so those are just a few things that I thought, you know, John, and I just wanted to share, those things and just, you know, share the memory that I had of him, that he was very helpful me in some ways. So, we just thank God for his life and the person that he was. He was really good with his profession in social work, and he helped a lot of young people, a lot of people with education. He helped He was just good. I enjoyed listening to all the stories that he used to tell about the juvenile system and how he worked in his field and, all the politics that was played at that time back then. And so, and that's what I had to say about that. So, and one other thing, you know, as far as the youth. take your youth to the library. That's one thing John used to do. He used to take his kids to the library. And it was like it was a mandatory thing, and he just made it a part of their life. And that was all they wanted to do. They always wanted to be at the library, and they were always at the library. And so that was like their second home. And so when you get used to, you know, doing something like that, going to the library, you know, they loved it. You will love it. You know, it's almost like it's almost like having a, you know, like doing something that you love to do, like eating chocolate cake or candy, chocolate candy. So they love that library. So that's just one more thing that we could add to the list when we want to spend time with the kids, so that we can help our kids, you know, something that we can help our kids do. Let me see. So, you know, hats off to him, you know, thank God for his life. That's it. So like I said, that's one more thing that we could do, is take our youth to the library, take them to church. John did take his kids to church, and they do continue to go to church as adults now. Because once you start them in something, you start young. They say train up a child, and what you teach them, it won't depart from them. They always will come back to it. Okay? So we just thank God for his life, and we just going to continue to pray for that family. Miss McFall, you know, she is very instrumental with the youth, and has been instrumental in helping the youth go to college and do, you know, just be a mentor to the young people. Yep. And so today we have with us today Jacqueline Vanderbilt. Callie Kleiber, and Ms. Rebecca Johnson, okay? And, of course, our awesome Pastor O. I'm going to wrap it up this evening, okay? And so without further ado, we are going to bring our guests in. Hello, Ms. Vandergriff and Ms. Johnson. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, hello, Kathy. It's great to be invited.
Hello.
Thank you
for having me.
Hey, hello there, Ms. Johnson. It's good to have you. Yes.
Thank you for joining
us today. Yeah. So we're just going to talk about behaviors, and you know, I just talked about, you know, education and the secular education and this Christian education and John's attributions and things that he's done, and it, you know, it looked like he had a good, well-rounded, you know, life there. You know, he was well-traveled, well-spoken, speak another language fluently, and it's like he got a whole lot out of his time that he was here on this earth. It's like I said, if anything that I asked him, he always had an answer for everything that I asked. And it would be so interesting and intriguing. And most of the time, he probably read it out of a book, but he was well-traveled. And so that's what we're trying to get our kids to be, you know, well-traveled, well-rounded world, you know, travelers, and just make the best out of the life that God gives them. Don't waste no time. Get all you can get, you know, and have God at the head of that train that you're living, and keep it moving,
you know, and just be an inspiration and be a positive role model to someone, and just be ready to reach back and help and pull somebody else up. And, you know, you have to have, in order to be able to do these things, you have to have some good behavior. You have to have some, you have to know how to behave to be able to get out there and mingle and talk to people, you know, because I tell kids all the time, no one is going to, you know, put up with bad behavior. You can't go nowhere, you know, acting certain kind of ways and having bad behavior. You can't go anywhere because people are not going to deal with you, you know. So it's important for them to be able to have good behavior and so that they can compete and be able to go anywhere in this world, okay? And Rebecca, you had spoke about your parents at one time giving you a secular education and but then focus on the spiritual Christian education. You want to tell us about that and how, you know, that affected you and how was, did it affect your future? You know, feelings on that.
Absolutely. I wanted to I wanted to call in and mention about how my parents, they gave me a good foundation, but they didn't go to church. But thankfully, my big mama, one of the last of the big mamas, took me to church on the weekends that I visited her. And I'm so grateful to have had that influence on my young life. She introduced me to church, and she encouraged me to pray. And she always advised me to pray and talk to God and listen for a still, small voice. But I wasn't impressed with her wisdom, and I wanted to learn every lesson for myself. If some wise person would tell me, I tried it like that, and it turned out like this, and I would say, that's you. We're not the same. I didn't take advice. I didn't have good behavior. So I learned the hard way that crime doesn't pay. And I went to jail just like my mother said I would. And I thought the rules were for everyone else. Yeah, I didn't think the rules were for me. I was cynical and mean and ungrateful and suspicious. But I wanted to call in and tell how the word changed me. Started with sermons on TV, and then I listened to podcasts on my phone, and I finally decided to read it for myself. But I still thank God for giving me a praying grandmother. And Romans 12:2 is the first scripture I ever learned by heart. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I'm thankful that my mind is still being renewed day by day. My mother says I was 26 when I called to apologize to her for everything I put her through. And it's funny. I think that's the moment when your brain becomes completely developed and you're able to make good decisions. So if you trained up from youth to walk by faith and not by sight, then you can easily trust that your elders can see things that you can't see. So I was a smart dummy. I'm a smart dummy to this day. I don't have any children yet, but I have 3 nieces, and all 3 are being educated secularly and spiritually. And one of them is 6 years old. Her name is Heaven. I hope she'll call in on this show today and recite a scripture.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I would be so excited. 6 years old.
So what does she do? Who helps her and who keeps her busy?
Her, I think she has a whole family full of. She doesn't live in the same state. I don't get to see her very often, but she's her mother keeps her busy, and she has a wonderful Christian school that keeps her busy.
Wow, 6 years old. That sounds like she's ready for the well-roundedness that she's going to get. That's great.
I believe it.
Wow. So you was a rough child, huh?
Oh, my goodness, Kathy. I was horrible.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. But wow. So thankfully I turned a corner. And, you know, it took a long time.
So did something like major, I mean, I know you said you broke the law, did something major, did the you going to jail, was that the turning point as far as when you started reading the word and turning the corner?
Yeah,
turning,
that was part of
around.
It. Yeah, that was part of it. And slowly. Yeah, that changed my mind real good. going to jail changed my mind. But I didn't give my life over to the Lord until years later after that. And I think that's what started the scripture reading and the listening. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, we all say, well, go ahead.
You go.
Go ahead, I'm listening. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Miss Johnson.
She's, I was told that she'll hear things that grown people say, and she'll say, God wouldn't like that. And
your niece?
My niece.
Uh-huh.
And, I wonder how many completely grown folks have no idea what God would like.
Wow. Wow. That's why you have to start them early. Start them early. That is great.
So I thank you for having me. And I just want to, there was a comment that I was too chicken to make last week. I wanted to comment on the young lady that you advised to go in the bathroom and wash her face. I thought that was so good. It made me think about Naomi telling Ruth to wash her face and how washing your face can refresh your attitude. And I wish I knew that when I was a young person.
Wow. I just came up with that all of a sudden. I just said, because she was crying, and I know how beautiful she is, and I was like, you got to wash your face. So that is a good, you know, a word as far as refreshing, yeah. So that was refreshing. And then her other sister mentioned it the other day, you know, after that, and she said she wouldn't wash her face because she was having an attitude problem. So that lets you know that kids do listen. They are listening, and they want to do better. They want to do good. Yes, they do. All they want us to do is tell them, you know, give them that attention that they need, that one-on-one time, or just a little bit of time, you know. They want to be disciplined. They want to know that you care about them. Mm-hmm. And Miss, now if you want to have a word to say, you could press 1, and you could be able to join in with the conversation. They want that time. Jackie has does a lot of one-on-one time with her nephew, and she talks about it all the time, and how she you know, just gives him, you know, pays attention to everything that he does in school. She checks. I'm going to let y'all let her tell y'all about that. But if, you know, block by block, if you could just help one kid and just give them this personal, that personal time that they need, you know, you're helping. You're helping one. If it's just one that you take under your belt and tutor them and let that be your project for a period of time and bring them to the level that they need to be at, that's helping. That's helping. That's doing the block by block. Some people can't take 10, 15 kids. Maybe they can't just handle one, but that's a help. You with us, Miss Jackie?
Yes, I am. I was just sitting here thinking about the message that we just heard and thinking how important this young lady is to our society and how her message needs to be able to fixate in so many young people's minds. Because she has a wealth of knowledge and she has a experience on how to relate to them, to let them know of the direction that she went in, and why it's important to listen and follow the right mindset. Because sometimes, a good example, you know, young people, I was just talking to my nephew, and he contributes some of the things that I was saying to him that he couldn't share with me because, I guess, the status of the being an elder that he would share with someone else like his sister or whatever, they need to understand that we was once young and the direction we're trying to take them is in a direction that is for the best of their interest. But where they want, we can't touch them. Her message, the young lady, Miss Johnson, am I correct?
That's correct.
Be able to affect them and to penetrate with them because you're speaking on their language. And sometimes I can't be his friend, but yet and still, so we don't speak. Even though we speak one language of direction, but I still don't speak the language, the power that you have in the language that needs to be, they need to gravitate to. That's why it's so important that you look at your mission in a different way because you can relate where we can't relate. Well, we can relate to them, but where they will, they're not like a sponge of applying what we're saying, but yet and still, with you speaking the same language, they can apply a different direction. Do that make sense? Hello?
I think I know what you mean.
Okay. And so I would like to, you know, it's almost as we got to figure out a way how to touch them, to bring them into like a summit, a youth summit, so they can be a part of understanding because we need people like you to touch them. To get inside their head,
mm-hmm.
You know, where we can only, I sit here and I monitor and focus on the academics. I will take this evening and read that Romans 12:2 to him, because I wrote that down, and point is because there's a generation gap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that I don't care how smart you are or what direction, we're fighting a spiritual battle. And one said to me, if you want to cut a tree down, you cut it while it's young. Because that's why they want to destroy our youth, because it's easy to destroy their minds while it's developing versus destroying it while it, when it's already at a full tree level. So it's, I was just sitting here thinking how we could try to come on. Kathy had been speaking about that, but a youth summit where, you know, you as a keynote speaker, and for the young people to get involved in, and almost as a curriculum in the school system for them to be exposed to what you have to offer. Do that.
Wow, wow. I never thought about that like that.
Okay. Well, it's something that and it might be a calling. It's a reason why. And I was listening to every word that you were saying, and I said to myself, that's why I was sitting here in awe for a minute when Kathy spoke about me coming on. I said, wow, she has that language for them to understand. And we had just had that little conversation before the show. And I was talking to you, came by for a minute to bring me some apples, and I was talking to him, and he said, he kind of detoured, and I consider him as Kathy said, that's my child. Well, I know your walk, and you detoured and made a detour, and I'm standing here looking at you, but yet and still, he said, well, you know, sometimes as kids, you know, we don't tell you everything. You have to understand. Some things I can't tell you because I guess the respect that he has for me. But the thing about it is, well, somebody right got to be in that, to penetrate in that brain, because it's so easy to turn the wrong corner of life.
That's so
but
true.
You are so powerful with being able to relate, and you need to be a curriculum, need to be a summit, needs to be set up to go into the schools and to be able to be a keynote speaker for children to be in the auditorium so they can listen. Somebody like you that can speak their language for them to understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do believe that if we could, not if, when we put this together, I do believe that some of our children will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do, because you what you have to say is so powerful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. You ready for that?
Yeah, sure.
That's
I'm
good.
Surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well,
I'm
you never
there.
Know how God will use you. Yeah. Right.
And you know that's something, because that is a way that people can understand when you have like trials and tribulations, and you have things that you go through, and then you let them know how you
combated that and how you depended on God to get you through those situations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was definitely delivered.
All right. Right, and, you know, we can have others, too, because other people have, you know, testimonies. You know, we all, you know, we all say, like, when we were younger and our parents told us, you know, not to do some certain things. And, you know, everybody has done something. We all been children. We all been, have had to grow up and went through some things. And so once we get grown, we say, boy, if I could just do it over again, if I could just, I wouldn't do this and wouldn't do that, you know. And so, you know, so that's what the kids are going through now. They're just going through what we done all, where we have already been. And so they just need us to try to, you know, guide them along. I mean, because they're going to have their own trials and tribulations that they're going to go through. And they're going to need to know how to get through. Yeah. And I used to tell my niece, because she was in a really bad car accident one time. And I always tell her, I said, you have a story to tell. I said, you can help, you know, the younger generation, you know, with your story. And so once you get on that stage, Ms. Johnson, and tell your story, we're going to have her with you telling her story too, so that because you know, people need to hear how they got through. Yeah
Just don't learn every lesson for yourself. Just learn from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're going to go through. They're going to go through their own battles, but you're right.
Please write
you
those key points
sometime.
Did you hear me?
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Right. There's a lesson for yourself, yeah. And so, like, telling the little girl to go and wash her face, she's going to remember that forever. She's going to remember that.
You and know, it worked.
Yeah. We think our kids are not listening, but they're listening. Jackie, what did your nephew tell you about listening? Him hearing?
He said to me that you don't think that I'd be listening to you. He said, but I listen to every word you say.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that because, you know, I've always had a policy that I try to, and I'm not perfect, but I try to walk the right way, and not only in front of my child, but in front of all the children that have been a part of my life. And I remember, and I say this and I laugh sometimes, and these people are adults, and my brother, and which is 10 years younger than I am, and his friends, and I used to, all of them, I used to guide them in the right direction. So that particular, they were 18, so that particular week, for a month, every weekend, they would go to every nightclub they could find to try to catch me in something. And so they got tired, came back to my mother. They said, Mama, what is, we trying to go to every nightclub to catch her, and we can't catch her because we're tired of her telling us what to do and being bossy over us and demanding greatness from us. We just want to catch her in the something. But they didn't realize that whenever I wanted to do something, I jumped on a plane and went somewhere else. And my mother just laughed about it. We would laugh about it because she said, well, stop wasting your time trying to catch her because you're not. And so I till this day, I remember that. But the key point is what I learned from it is that they watch you. And mm-hmm. children, all they have time to do, we have to worry about the lights, the gas, the job, the being politically correct on the job. We got to worry about their homework, getting them to school, and the whole responsibility. All they have to do is watch us, do a little homework in school, clean the bathroom or something, cut the grass, the kids or whatever. But all they have time to do is watch your behavior. That's why they know what will tick with you and what will not tick with you. So, you know, it is very important. And I charge to be able, when it's our time, to be gracefully through the transition, that somebody can speak words of character, good character about us as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we affected mm-hmm. somebody, and we were inspiration in somebody's life, and to, you know, to maintain that, that's a great honor. That's a great honor, not to say no one is perfect, but to say that you were an inspiration in somebody's life. You know, you mm-hmm. were the that you unconditionally you gave of yourself to do those things where you help someone else reach another step in their life. You know, that's a great honor. So as I say that our youth, Kathy, has been a great, is a great inspiration in children's lives. And she does it genuinely. Sometimes, you know, people, we have to understand that when God gives you that charge to do the things that you're mm-hmm. doing, is that people have to understand that God sees where, God knows what we're going to do before we do it, but God sees that there's mm-hmm. a need to help you. Whether you embrace it and accept it, that's a, you have free will. But if you choose not to, don't cry about the consequences later on in life. Because when mm-hmm. God would say you needed God, he came to you, but the knock on the door, you did not hear the knock or address the knock, but he gave you the blessing. So when Kathy is doing something for use, is God knocking on your door saying that I'm giving you the blessings through somebody else? Whether you accept it or not, it's your choice. But be mindful that you asked for some help down the road and forgot about the prayer that you set out there and God delivered it. And when he delivered it, you have to be able to identify it and accept it. So that just came to me, Kathy.
That's good. Yeah. So what was the, so you were talking about the one-on-one that we can do. Like I said, if you just have, if you just get one kid and give them that one-on-one time, you're helping.
Well, you know, today we have technology. So mm-hmm. mine's have. Added from one child, now I have two, where
mm-hmm.
I'm logging in on their schoolwork, monitoring them if your assignment is due on this day. Where's that assignment? I must see it before you drop it. I would like to read it. I would like to discuss with you. And even till that point, taking us a moment on Zoom where you actually can see the young person's face and they can see your face. And with the whiteboard or going, putting the assignment up on the board for them to understand what needs to be done and what needs what's not need to be done, because we all were children. Mm-hmm. And if, I mean, you find some little boys and girls that say, I'm on it, I'm going to do it, but most of us had to be directed. Oh, this is homework time. This is the time to focus on A, B, C, D, okay? And so we all have a little streak, even as adults, a little streak sometime of being a little lazy. So, you know, the one-on-one with them, if, even if it's nothing but 30 minutes or an hour out of the day to go in and monitor, you know, get those passwords at the school because the school had it set up. Get those passwords and find out one-on-one what is going on. You know, you have X amount of classes. Well, you know, go through each one of them. You have assignment here due, you know, it's lacking, it didn't get in. I don't want it late anymore, okay? So nobody reached the top by themselves. And that's why that part of it, there is different roles. Like, say, for instance, that the spiritual side of it, we can direct them in the right path, that giving them encouragement. But when they go into the one God put in charge, that's why it's so important for either if you're online at church or you're going actually into the church, because God gave somebody else that charge and that knowledge and that wisdom for them to be the teacher or the guide for them. He didn't give me the wisdom that he gave my pastor or Pastor O. So they have their lane that God gave them. That's why it's important for our children to be there, to be an inspiration, to listen to the leaders that he put there. But over here, he might have given somebody else a charge to help them with the secular part of it as far as going through making sure that they do the homework and that they want to do the homework. You have to make it kind of not so overbearing, but also make it kind of fun, you know. And then on the other hand, you have somebody like Kathy that's sharing with them life experiences of touching, being exposed to certain things that normally they would not have been exposed to, which is also a major balancing where your child become well-read, okay? And then you have somebody like Miss Johnson that would tell them, oh, no, there's a fork in the road. I want you to go right. I want to see through your eyes what it looked like on that side, because I can show you through experience to the left that it's not, like she said, don't experience everything for yourself. So everybody has a role to, that's where the village comes in order to make sure that they're well balanced. So one, we need to get our children back in the church. We need to get our children on tune that is if you work hard and you play hard, okay? So once you complete in your your schedule, you have your studies, the time you give God, the time you give for your education, the time you, there's Kathy over there giving them the time of experiencing things, of having fun, but also they don't realize that the fun they're having is an effect on their life. So we work hard and we play hard. And I tell him, you know, some type of procrastination, I tell him that I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. And show examples. Oh, it's almost time for Pastor.
No, I was just both on it, agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. So, you know, sometimes we have to show them, and I show him, oh,
today I was a little bit lazy. I didn't get A, B, C, D done. So you have to hold me accountable as well as I hold you accountable. You sometimes you got to give them a charge mm-hmm. of responsibility. One day I told him that before you go to school, I need you to make sure that I'm up because I have a doctor's appointment. And Kathy and I laughed about mm-hmm. it because it was a thing to see if he would be responsible enough to make sure that I got up to go to the doctor on time, which he did call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we laughed about it because he didn't realize he was being put to a test.
Mm. Oh, that's a good way. That's a good way to hold him accountable, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you say, I used to have a slogan that said, "If you pay now, you can play later. But if you play now, you're gonna pay later." So it's better to go ahead.
That's a good one.
Right. And get what you have to get done now. Mm-hmm. Get what you have to get done now, and you can play. If you pay now, just pay your dues now. You could play later, but if you play now, you're gonna pay later. Mm-hmm. So that way, if you pay now, you could play early. Go to college, you know, 2021. You're in classroom teaching, but if you play now, you're gonna pay later, and you're gonna be in the classroom with you 20, 40 years old, you're in the classroom with 18 and 20-year-olds. You know, who want to be in the classroom with an 18 or 20-year-old? Get it out the way. Go ahead and get it done.
That's so true.
As they say, get her done. Get her done. Mm-hmm.
Get
yeah.
it did.
So, pay now and
you
pay
know,
now. Pay later. Mm-hmm.
I want to be an influence on my block like you, Miss Sister Kathy. I want to be like you when I grow up. So I wanted to ask
Get
you,
mm-hmm.
what was that first conversation like? I mean, what was the first step you took to build a relationship with your neighbor children?
Good question. Well, what I did was, well, I wasn't a stranger to the neighborhood because I grew up on the street and the block that, you know, where my kids are now, but maybe the next block. But these are all new families, okay? So they really didn't know me. But, you know, some of the ones that that I was involved with before, the new neighbors came, they were already telling them some things. Yeah, go see Miss Kathy for, you know, this or that. But one thing that when I first started to get with the kids on my block, our block was looking kind of wretched. And so we got some garbage bags and rakes and brooms and things like that and sent a note out to let all the neighbors know that we were having a cleanup on our block. And so that's how it started. And they all came out, the neighbors came out and sent the kids out, and we cleaned our block up, and it looked so beautiful afterwards. You know, they were really proud of themselves, and that's how it started. And so after that, and then so when I would, we do that, and then I give them pizza and pop and, you know, chips and things like that. And then after that, we just started, I just started, you know, giving them things. You know, y'all want to go here, y'all want to go there, let's do this, let's do that. Let's, you know, and that's just how it started. So it wasn't really hard, but, you know, one thing is that sometimes when the parents are, you know, maybe too strict or don't let the kids go or make the kids stay in the house too much, the kids will, they get a little jealous of the other kids that can go. And that makes it, you know, kind of sad. And then they start to sabotage. They'll start to sabotage, and so that, and so that the other kids can't go. And so, so you might run into something like that, you know. And it's not fair for all of them not to be able to go. And, you know, some parents keep them home for, you know, just some things that really, you know, they could read a book about or do a write a paper, you know, because I try to tell them, I say, well, let them just read a book and write a paper about it. Tell what the book is about. Punish them that way because they're missing out on all of the activities that they that's going to help them in their future, you know. So those, you know, you're going to run into everything is not perfect in life, and you're going to have your issues and things like that. But, yeah. But other than that, yeah, just being friendly to the parents. And if you go to a store, you pick up something. If you pick up one thing, you pick up another thing, you give it to the parent. You know, just, you know, things like that. If it was their birthday, you send them a card. Just building that relationship. Hello, how you doing? Hey, you know. When they come and go on, you waving, hey, you know, hey, Miss Kiki, hey, Miss Cash, as they call her, Mr. Cash, you know, just being friendly, and that's it, yeah. But we did the block cleanup. That was the first thing. We took pictures and took the pictures to all the parents, and that's how it got started. Yeah.
So when you did the block cleanup, how did you let the the neighbors know?
I sent the letter out and took the letters around to each house and let them know what we were going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, you know, and we're going to clean up this field down the street because it's a vacant lot down there that people dump stuff in, you know. And so we cleaned that lot up. These were some little, they were little too. And they were out there helping the best that they could, and they really worked hard. By the time we got done, my brother came over, and he helped, and came to cut the grass and got it all manicured. And so, you know, and that's how it started, and then they get pizza afterwards. And then after that, you know, the little older boys, maybe 10 to 14, I let them come down and do some work for me, cut my grass, edge it up, you know, have my little girls come and do some filing for me, throw some papers away, wash my windows, just do something, you know, clean my car out. And so do that and just pay them to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So they was really cool. You got something for me to do today? You got, you know, can I make some money? I'm going skating. I'm going to the movies. You know, I need to make some money. Okay, come on. Find something for them to do. And just, you know, be polite to them. Just love them. You know, have fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And feed them. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Feed them.
That's
mm-hmm.
real good.
Yeah. Yeah. Be nice to their parents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go to the grocery store, y'all need anything when I go to the store? You know, just to get back that sense of family and community, you know, the way it used to be. Our kids, they haven't seen that. You know, they don't have it like we had it. Yeah, and so we got, you know, you got younger parents that, you know, they're different. They're just totally different. So we have to just meet them right where they are. And just kind of try to, you know, just be positive and, you know, give them compliments, tell them they're beautiful, just anything to just let them know that, you know, that you care about them, you know, encourage them. You know, you take care of your kids very well, you know, all of that. You know, if you got the single moms and things like that, you know, you encourage them, you know, and, you know, let them know that they need you to watch the kids, look out for them, be there for them. You know, you got to let them know you're there for them and things like that. It's just being neighborly, yeah, because they get the younger generation, they got a different way of speaking to you and talking to you and handling their issues and their the way that they talk to one another or if they get in a confrontation. They handle their situations different from the way we handle them, you know. So, but if you continue to just be who you are and be that level-headed person and talk to them kindly, no matter whether they're raising their voice and being out of order, no matter whether they're doing that, you still have to be that level-headed person because they are from a different generation. You got to meet them right there. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's a lot of things we could do, but, you know, you just got to dig in the simple stuff, you know, and just conversation. Hello, hi, you know, buying a book, you know, some workbooks, some school books, some math books, and, you know, a Bible, just giving them books, crayons, whatever age it is. Yeah. We went Halloweening and trick-or-treating, and the little kids across the street couldn't go. And so we trick-or-treated for them, bought them a big bag of candies back. So they, you know, couldn't go that day because they were sick. So they were able to get them some candy, too, and take it to them. So that teaches them how to share. And then I told them about, because they had a chance to meet Mr. John. That's what we call Mr. John, John McFaul. They had a chance to meet him. We went out and visited him at the place where he was and the skill nursing facility. And they helped take his clothes there. They helped me take his clothes because he had moved out of his apartment to this nursing facility. And they helped me take his clothes and hang them up and all of that. And so... And before we left, we prayed because they just looked at me like, you know, they felt really sorry, you know. And they looked at them and we all held hands and we prayed. The little ones prayed. And then we had one big prayer and held hands and stuff like that. So I told one of them came over. I told her that, you know, well, remember Mr. John where we went to see? I said, remember? And so I told her, tell me where you remember. And she did remember. And so I told her, I said, well, he passed away today, yesterday, like that. And, you know, she kind of was like, oh, that's so sad, you know, like that. I said, but he's okay. I said, but, you know, every time I went out there, he asked about you guys. He asked, are you guys all right, you know, and tell him to thank you, you know, thank you for helping him and stuff like that. I said, we'll be back to see you like that. But he... always, I told him he always was asking about you guys, and he remembered what you did for him, you know. So that was nice, the nice thing that you did for him, you know. So he's gonna remember. I think I told him, I said he's gonna, when he get, he's with God now. I said he's gonna tell God what you did for him. So. She was like, okay. Yeah, so those are some of the things that, you know, you could do to just to teach them how to share and how to help, you know, and get some, you know, teaching moment out of it to just teach them how to be nice to people and kind. So, yeah, just how to help. And you don't have to ask them to help. You know, when they get older, they'll be like, okay, let's go over here and do this for so-and-so. You have to teach them and show them. Yeah. So that's the story. Yeah, so, okay, well, listen. Jackie, you still there? I didn't put anybody to sleep, did I?
Because a lot of times, you know, we don't know how to reach out to, because the children on our blocks, because a lot of times family members, the older ones are no longer here that own the homes, and there are new relatives that you never grew up around or never knew them as children or their parents or whatever. So they have young children. And you don't know how to reach out to these young children. And I was listening to, you know, how you started and went about, because these were people that did not grow up in the community. And they were new in the community. And when you actually had the cleanup day, and asked that they participate and had the pizza afterwards. And, you know, you had a support group that kind of helped you. I think that that is something that, you know, it would make people a little bit more comfortable intermingling with the youth, because these are trying times, and you have to be able mm-hmm. to, you know, be able to handle it in a certain way. You know.
Yes. That's how they learn. That's how they learn. You have to be the leader. We have a caller, area code 615. You're on Bring Back the Family. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Georgette Johnson, and my daughter, Heaven Williams, just wanted to call in and say a few of her favorite Bible scriptures.
Oh, boy, we will be delighted to hear her. What's her name?
Heaven.
Heaven. Boy, how heavenly is that? Okay, Heaven, we are ready for you.
Okay, go ahead, baby.
How old are you, Heaven?
Good.
Good. How old are you?
Six.
Six whole years old. Great. Well, Heaven, we are ready for you. People are going to hear you all over the world. Let her rip.
Go ahead, baby.
Jack, I'm 22. While the earth remaining, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Oh, amen.
Okay, what's the next
one? Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Good job.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
You're going to do one more? Okay, go ahead.
John 3:16. For God should love the world, and he gave he only the God his Son, for whosoever believing in him shall not perish, but in the lasting life.
Good job.
Good job. Oh, I'm so proud.
Excellent. Yes, excellent. Only 6 years old. You got
just,
a 6-year-old can't read like that.
She just turned 6 on October 17th.
Wow. Thank you, Heaven. That was heavenly. Wow. Thank you so much. You make sure we get your address, so we're gonna send you a gift.
Oh, I'll say thank you.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, we are so proud of you. Thank you for coming on Bring Back the Family. You could come on anytime you want.
Okay.
Please come back. All right. See there, someone is. Thank you. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Someone is training that child up, and that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Yes, she's getting it early. She's going to be well-rounded. We are proud of Heaven. Wow, Pastor
yeah.
O, I know you can't wait to get in here and wrap this thing up. I know you can't wait. And that little girl just warmed our hearts and just got us all excited here for sure. That was a true blessing. Yes, it was. Yes. Pastor O, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. And you know, I wasn't the only one listening. I looked up and Jesus and God the Father and all the amen. Everybody was paying attention
right.
and loving that, because that is what we've been talking about. That is, and see, that is proof right there. When you started out, you said new day, new way. That is proof right there that we can reach them today. And at 6 years old, I mean, you know,
just
to already be reading scripture and love it. See, that means, like you were talking about, I think it was Jackie was saying, they're looking at us, they're watching us. We need to watch how we behave because of the effect that we can have on them. And that's the kind of effect that somebody's having on her. And that is that is awesome right there. That's what this is all about. That probably happened to put you like through the roof right there to see that. You know, that's that through the roof stuff. That's that. This is what that's all about. This is working. And to come on to the radio, I am so proud of Rebecca Johnson, Sister Johnson, willing to share like that. That is what's powerful. It's like what Jackie was saying. She felt it too. That is what's powerful. When somebody's been there and it was the Lord who brought them back, well, that's the pathway for somebody else. You know, again, like you were saying in the beginning, new day, new way to teach it. Maybe it's just telling our stories, being willing to not try to be perfect, but yes, we can connect with you because we were there and made mistakes. Yes, it was a whole different year when I did it, but they were still mistakes, and those same mistakes will end you up in the same place they ended me up. Here's what you can do to avoid all that. That's what people need. That's what people want to hear. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he went around, he went around telling his story. That was his story. What sticks with me about Pastor John McFall, what sticks with me is he used to call me and tell me all the stuff he was going through, then encourage me and counsel me how to deal with a member going through all of that. Listening, just listening to him talk about it in real time, in real life, was like being able to interview Paul and Silas after that Philippian jail experience, because they were going through a whole lot of stuff for doing what God told them to do. And then Job, that kind of example, God gave us him as an example of, you can be doing everything right, and then all this happened. But that's not the question. The question never was, what did he do to go through all of that, for all of that to happen in his life? The question was, how did he handle it? How did he did? And what strikes me about Job, the first time Satan came at him, it says the same thing, that he didn't charge God with being foolish or with folly or just playing with him. He didn't lay that at the feet of God. He grieved and said, naked I came into the world, naked I'll leave. And in all this, he did not charge God with not loving him, not caring about him. And then when he got real sick and couldn't get well and was left to lay on the ground and to scrape his boils with broken piece of pottery, after having been described as a person who, like you described, John, all of the good stuff, and anybody who knows him know he tried to help everybody. You know, he didn't mess with nobody. He wouldn't do you wrong. He'd only want to come into your life to do you right. And then out of all the times that he called me, because I'm called people challenged, all the time that he called me, every single time, he never had a bad word to say about God. He wasn't in love with what he was going through, but he didn't ever ask me, why was God allowing him to go through that? He just knew where he was, and he knew his only choice was to be like David. Who knows? While the child is yet alive, I'll talk to the Lord about it. he may have mercy. And so he stayed in that vein. And so, like Job, he never charged God with folly. Those examples are powerful. Those examples speak to people mm-hmm. going through real things, what Rebecca talked about. And then to see this young lady come on, that parent is an example of what Jesus says in the Bible, what we talked about last week in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what we talked about, I think it's in Proverbs 22, train up a child the way it should go, and then what we talked about in Ephesians, where it talks about training your children, teaching them to reverence God and live according to his word. That is how you do it. That is where you start, and that is the result you get when you put the work in. That is the result. I cannot tell you, what will the Lord God of heaven and earth do for a parent who does that for a child? As that child grows, it'll have an opportunity to make a choice for Jesus one day, not out of the blue, but from experience. Okay, and then to close up the reading with John 3:16. That's what it's all about. And see, you know, I remember Madeline Tate one time took me downtown to talk to her, and Janice were down there working with the young girls, but Madeline wanted somebody to come and talk to the guys, and she hooked it all up. And next thing you know, I was downtown in Juvenile Hall talking to, like you were saying, a lot of our kids are there. And I got a chance to go down there and talk with them. But then, like Jackie said, they listened to me because of I didn't come with that regular preacher language. They were probably expecting me to say, hallelujah. Jesus loves every, they were probably expecting something. You know how we do. We turn into super Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking to them about where I came from and how I came along. And when I said the Lord Jesus found me on my way to sell dope, every head in there looked straight at me because half of them was sitting there for trying to get rich off selling dope. So I was able right there to grab them. And then let them see that you're not lost. You're not a lost cause. I'm not in here. I'm out there. I come in here to tell y'all Jesus can bring you out there. That kind of stuff is powerful. But what we have in the church is Christians who are too perfect to ever have had a problem. They can't admit anything. People might look at me funny. They might think I'm less than a Christian if they know about my past. If Paul did not tell his story about the Damascus Road, just what would he have told people who are not in Christ so they don't have the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to understand what he is saying? All he can give is his testimony. And that's it. And that's what, you know, my passage, Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, seek to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those on the outside. Get the respect of those on the outside. And then when Rebecca said Romans 12 is the first passage, that cracked me up because that's where God did a whole lot of work on me. Because one part asked for you to just, your flesh belongs to God. Every piece of it belongs to God. So whatever it does will be in response to what God's word says. Now, how does that happen? Well, the second part in verse 2 says, I need to be transformed. I need to change the way I think. To what? To the way God thinks. So now he's got my body and he's got my mind. He's got my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, okay? Our emotions is the end result of what our mind and will agree together on. The soul is caught between the spirit and the flesh. The spirit always wants to do God's will because we have a new nature. But then our flesh still exists, and it didn't come along for the salvation ride, so it ain't saved. It is still totally earthly and wants what it wants. But our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions have to come into agreement about who we're going to listen to. And when we make the choice to do what God said versus like when Rebecca got into the Word began to challenge the way she was living, the way she was thinking. Okay, and over time, those things begin to change. And then you hear songs like Ernest Pugh, less of me and more of you is what I need. That becomes the mantra then. We recognize we need to be more like God and less like, you know, us and our sinful nature. But, you know, Romans 12 is a good place for that to be. And again, I heard it said again with Jacqueline that we need to get back out into the witnessing program. We need to stop having so much church stuck inside them walls and get back into the witnessing program. You know, Jesus did say you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's not all up inside the church house, having concerts, having one session after another session after another session, and it's all for Christians. Me, Joe, us, four, and no more. It seems to be what we're saying. But when is the church going to become alive in the culture? When are we going to hit the streets block by block, house by house, befriending people? And it is so easy. Like you say, Kat, all you got to do is show some love, no matter how they behaving. If you can be like the Lord, no matter how they're behaving, you show love. Mm-hmm. Like, what did Michelle Obama say? When they go low, we go high. We don't go low. We ain't going low.
Mm-hmm.
Low ain't us. Yeah. That's them. We're trying to bring them up. That's why we go high, so they can come up.
Mm-hmm. And my mom said, kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. That's that, right.
Kill them with kindness.
Hold the fire on their head.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much, you know, and I just want to say one thing about John, and then I'll be through. I thank the Lord for him. That day, he popped up on my porch and asked me to do that, bring that biblical perspective to child support, a subject that scared me to death, but he didn't know it. But that led to such a big blessing in my life, a huge blessing. Number one, it gave us Blog Talk Radio. I never dreamed I'd be doing anything like this, but it gave us Blog Talk Radio. It was the beginning of all this. That's where it started, with him popping up on my porch, giving me 10 minutes to get ready to give a biblical perspective. And I was scared to death. Thank you, Kathy, for telling me that people couldn't see me on the radio. Once I got that through my head, I did my first 15-minute show. And now we've been here since 2009. And my wife let me know earlier today that it was in March of 2009 that John Mack joined Runner for Christ Ministries. I'll have to look up when we ordained him to preach, and he didn't stop preaching until he couldn't preach no more, and, you know, until it just was too much. But other than that, he kept preaching. And I want to thank you, because we talked. He called me, because you know me, I call people challenged, so he called me, and he told me, Kat, how you were there for him. He told me, what you did. Thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you, Pastor. Awesome. They were awesome. Oh, and John Mack, they were so much alike. They both got these brains, these brilliant brains that just, you know, they just know so much. And I used to say, what's in their head? And I said, you just got sections of just information all over. I didn't care what I asked him. He knew all about it. And man, oh man, it was just so captivating. I'm like, okay. And so you guys are so much alike in your knowledge of everything. And I think it's just because of the reading and understanding. And yeah, you guys are.
You can imagine what our conversations were like.
Yeah. And he didn't want to call you Uncle Jesus.
Exactly.
So hey, good time. Good time. Yeah. And he helped me too. So I appreciated what he did, you know, when I was in school, helped me get all those A's and come and just explain my lessons to me and just break it down to where I could just understand it. He did it so easy. So easy. So, yeah. So we helped each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to the Youth Summit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yep. And that's why I say if you... you know, we're going to give you a way that you can help the youth.
That would be good.
We want
that
you to do a
block thing.
By block. Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want to do block by block, we want you to do it. We want that to just be, just pick up all over the world, block by block. But we're going to have the workshop. We're planning on doing a workshop. And, we're going to give people a chance to be able to help with their financial donations to be able to run these workshops. So they'll be able to help in all kinds of ways. And so we're going to get these youth where it is that they're supposed to be educationally, spiritually, and they're going to be strong. So
yeah, well, you know, I'm going
to
be in on that.
Spring. Yes,
the
sir.
Financial.
Yes, sir.
How about the financial part? I get in on the financial part because that's money well spent.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all in this thing together, and we just gotta, you know, get together and work it out, and so our youth could be the best that they could be, and we can be safe walking up and down our streets. You know, when they know that we care about them and we love them. And we have something to offer them, to teach them, that's going to help them in their future. Yeah, they'll accept. So I'm just looking forward to that. We're going to do that Boss of Me is Me book. And we got some Army stuff that we're going to be doing. We're trying to put it together now and sometime this spring. We're going to get these workshops going, and yeah, and it's going to catch fire. Yeah, and we'll be getting somewhere. Okay. All right. Next week, Pastor O. Oh,
yeah.
Well, let me see. I think, I just want to. For anybody that wants to know for John's arrangements, it's going to be on Tuesday of next week. What day is that? Weeks are going fast already.
Oh, I think that's the 8th and the 9th. Well, the Tuesday is what, 3 to 8?
Yeah. 3 to 8, yeah. Kernan Funeral Home on 4th Street in Lincoln Park. And then Wednesday is going to be a family hour at 10 a.m. And then 11 o'clock homegoing service. And that's also at Kernan Funeral Home on 4th Street in Lincoln Park, Michigan. So that's that. And, hey, soldier. Soldier of the cross. And we just thank God for his life. That's it.
Thank you, Heaven. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Thank you for everybody, Jackie, for tuning in. Tune in next week, same time, Friday, from 7 to 8:30, sometimes 9. And we'll be glad to have you. Let me see. I see my niece on next week too. We want to just acknowledge some of the good things that our youth are doing, our college students, and all of that. And so, we have some announcements to make about young man Anthony Cox that go to Michigan State University. He's doing some great things up there at Michigan State University, and some great things for himself and his future. And we're proud of him, and we're going to talk about him next week. And any other celebrations that we need to talk about. Heaven, you are awesome, girl. We're going to have you come back again. You're going to be a regular on the Bring Back the Family show, okay? All right. Well, if that is all that we have, Pastor O, you have any closing remarks or anything that you would like to say?
No, I'm good. Just one thing I was cracking up when you were talking about hiring kids to do things. And I thought about Ed Johnson, Rebecca's husband. We used to go down his grandfather's house and steal the peaches off his peach tree in the backyard. And he knew who was doing it, right? So one day he saw us walking down the street, and the peaches was just about ready. We was going to, you know, slip around there and steal them. He hired us to pick them. And he hired us to pick them, and then he started hiring us to rake the leaves, to shovel the snow, to do everything. And it wasn't until later that we figured out that he was teaching us how to earn money to go and buy what you want rather than stealing it. And so I just thought about that when you were talking about you hired him to wash the windows and all of that stuff. And it wasn't until later, though, that way later, we figured out what he was doing. But he was teaching us. That was his way of getting these bad little boys. How do you stop them from stealing? Hire them. Then they can run to the store. And, you know, back then you could buy penny apples and things. So, wow, did I just date myself or what? Let me get out of here.
Yeah, we, I guess we've all done something crazy. And we have to, we all done something, and we all were kids before. And it was up to our parents to lead us in the right direction. And we survived. We survived. And these kids here today, they're going to survive as well. Yeah. I can't find my song that I want to play, so I'll play something else. Let me see. Okay. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you, Awesome O, and everybody. And look, Heaven, you are a star, girl. Make sure we get that address, and you just keep looking for the mail, okay? All right. Love everybody.
I lay me down, Heaven hear me now, I'm lost without a cause, after giving up my all. Winter storms have come, and darkened my sun, after all that I've been. I look to you, I look to you, searching for that open door.
Right now.